answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I think Democrats are fleeing the ship like rats, and I think they're scared. They're looking at Joe Biden. And listen, they've got a structural problem. If you're a Democrat running for re-election in 2024, you can't run on their record. You can't run on jobs. You can't run on the economy. You certainly can't run on inflation. You can't run on crime. You can't run on immigration with the chaos at the southern border. You can't run on foreign policy with the largest land war in Europe since World War II. You can't run on standing with the military with a disgraceful surrender to the Taliban in Afghanistan. Every enemy of America has gotten stronger. Every enemy of America has been abandoned. And more than two-thirds of Americans recognize that Bidenomics, and by the way, how much does the White House regret naming it Bidenomics? Bidenomics has made life harder for working men and women. If you're a senior and you go buy food at the store, you pay your bills, you pay your rent, you pay your electricity, the cost of everything's gone up. It's harder and harder to make ends meet. Young people coming out of school who are discovering they can't pay their rent, they can't pay their car payment, and God forbid you try to buy a house and you pay interest rates that have doubled and tripled since Joe Biden was elected.
He's on point on every remark made. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. All the Democrats can do when it comes to running is run, Forrest, run. That's it. Not to anywhere, not with anything, not on anything. Just run. Don't look over your shoulder. They might be catching up to you. The American public has caught up to them. It's caught up to the fact that this administration has lost already so many Democrats because they don't like what's happening to our country. These are not old fogey Democrats. These are pretty modern Democrats in many cases. They're not part of the woke, and they may be left of what other Democrats are, but they also realize this is a road to hell, and we're not going to go down it. So Senator Ted Cruz says they have nothing to run on, and he's absolutely right. And he's also right about, wonder how much they regret naming it Bidenomics. Can we change the title to Kamalomics? Would that give him any relief? That reminds me of something that when Obamacare came out, and of course it was called the Affordable Health Act or something like that. I don't even recall. Because the nomer that was attached to it quickly was Obamacare. I was working with an anchor at the time, a black woman, and she said, "You can't call it that. That's not, well, you're just using that to basically shoot down Obama." I said, "No, actually, even Obama's, in fact, he had at one time said, it wasn't really called that, but I kind of like it." He said he liked it until it goes upside down. We all do, right? We all like something until, don't count me in anymore on that one. All right, glad to have you with us again. Here we are, September 26th, 2023. This is our number two of Larry Connors USA. We're on Monday through Friday, 6 to 8. You get 2 hours each day with us now because you asked for it. And I remind you, while on the air, we are also streaming for you at Newstalk STL Facebook and Twitter. You can watch Studio Action then, or at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter. Use either one. We are on both platforms. And don't forget, you can also simply go to Rumble. And if you miss anything, be it some of the video you want to watch or just listen to the audio, it's all available at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Let your family and friends know about it. So if you want to point them to a particular program or particular remarks or something, Just go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. It will be there for you. Granted, unfortunately, you have to go through a lot of advertising that they're putting in. It's not our advertising, but they're trying to use us and our, since we're getting such a large audience, they just keep trying to slam more ads into it, but it is there. So what we had also over the recent days, and I told you about this the other day, about an ABC Washington Post poll, and I said it was showing ABC Washington Post showing that it was no longer a close race between Biden and Trump. If you had them in a heads-up match, hypothetical, it was no longer that. That I said 10 points. Now, you're going to hear Mika Brzezinski use 9 points. I might be wrong, or maybe she's bringing it down, or and I went up when I shouldn't. I don't know. I just saw the headline that said 10. So let's say it's 9. What the hell? Let's go. Mika Brzezinski.
Then the other new poll, this one from ABC News and the Washington Post, has Trump leading Biden by 9 points in a 2024 election matchup. In this survey, the former president leads the current one, 51% to 42% among all adults. The Washington Post noted that this poll is likely an outlier compared to ones taken by other groups, but it is consistent with an ABC News Washington Post poll of the same question from earlier this year. In this latest poll, 74% say Biden is too old for a second term, versus 50% who say Trump is too old for a second term, and Biden also faces negative ratings on other key issues as well. Just 37% approve of his overall job performance, compared to 56 who disapprove. Biden's approval is even lower at 30% for his handling of the economy, and at 20% for his handling of the situation at the southern border.
Let me reinterpret that last, because she kind of slid it under the door. It's 20% are okay with what's happening at the border. 80% are not anywhere near okay. That's not just Republicans, conservatives, even independents. They're Democrats. And many minority groups included inside that. Because the more illegals come into the country, the more wages get driven down, jobs taken, and a Hispanic origin American who has a good job, paying them maybe $22 an hour, now somebody's saying, look, I'll take $8 an hour. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen? Now I'm looking again at the Washington Post ABC News. She said 9 points between Trump and Biden. And then even the Washington Post apparently said, but that is an outlier. In other words, it may not really be true. And yet also acknowledging it corresponds to another one they did, the same two surveys, Washington Post, ABC News, is close to what they'd done a month ago. I don't know how you call it an outlier, unless you just don't like the way the numbers look. May I suggest something? For you pollsters and those of you paying for it, if you don't like the numbers, don't use them. Don't put them out. Bury them. But again, I remind you, these are just numbers at this point that mean nothing. But as you were hearing Senator Cruz in the beginning say, there's not anything really for Democrats to run on. He said they're rats abandoning the ship. They know it's sinking. Get off, get off. Now, he's proposing a possible action that could take place. What if the Democrat National Committee sees this is a no-win situation with Joe Biden, Senator Cruz?
I think the odds are very significant that next summer at the Democrat National Convention, that the Democrat Party will jettison Joe Biden, will throw him off the ticket, and they will parachute in instead Michelle Obama to be their candidate. I think they're going to look to Michelle Obama as the savior to come in. And I think if that happens, that would be very, very dangerous. And every time I see a Democrat or one of their puppets in the press beginning to point out the problems with Joe Biden, every time that happens, the chances of that go up and up and up.
Yeah, well, that's not very good, is it? Michelle Obama coming in, parachuting in, as he said. Well, before we get to examining that in more detail, Senator Cruz is also talking about if Biden is out and Michelle's not parachuted in, what are the other options?
You would have the top four, I think, would be Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, Elizabeth Warren, and Gavin Newsom. I think that'd be the top tier, and I think they'd fight like crazy. In an open primary, I actually think in that primary, I think Elizabeth Warren wins, because I think Elizabeth Warren is the closest to the id of the Democrat Party. It's where they are. You think about it, in 2020, you had Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders splitting the crazy left-wing socialist moonbat lane of the Democrat Party. If Warren runs this time, she'll dominate that lane. Now, the problem is, if you're a Democrat who wants to win, that scares you. You look at Kamala Harris, and Kamala's numbers are worse than Joe Biden's. That scares you. And so I think as they're thinking about it, who you could put in, if the Democrats pick any of those four, you tick off the other three and risk alienating their supporters.
And if you do that, then you're not going to get them to come back, and you're basically handing the election to Trump. That's what he's suggesting. And I don't think he's wrong in his analysis that you would have Elizabeth Warren leading that group out of in a primary, because there's so many of them that are willing to go green, 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 and everything that comes with it. So Fohanis, as Trump used to call her, using her fake Indian heritage, might well end up leading the ticket. I don't think that would really help them either. I think that would, if it would tick off the others for either Kamala. You're going to replace a black woman with a white woman, an old white woman? That's not going to go over. And anyone else they put in there? No. Buttigieg? Really? He's going to be home nursing the baby. Well, feeding them milk or walking them around, whatever he's doing is with his partner. But then back to Cruz's statement, what if Michelle parachutes in?
I think Michelle Obama brings the Obama pedigree. She parachutes in with also the suit of armor of a first lady, with high positives and relatively low negatives. And I think they can justify to everyone who gets snubbed, well, look, we went with Michelle Obama instead. I don't know if she wants it, but I do think it would be much more attractive to her to come in next summer and just campaign a couple of months to the general rather than having to spend 2 years campaigning vigorously on the ground.
So in that case, maybe she would. Maybe she would come in. That's still a scenario. We need to wait and see how it plays out. Joe Biden visiting the United Auto Workers Union strike line. Yep, right there with the union workers. A Republican Michigan congressman says Biden's action is a cruel joke.
Beijing Biden doesn't care about UAW auto workers. Beijing Biden cares about his climate change, leftist Green New Deal agenda. When he comes down in advance of President Trump's trip, because he's terrified of being upstaged, he needs to justify why the penalties that his administration is going to level on the automotive companies would crater these union folks' bonuses. He needs to tell these folks that the EPA penalties and the NHTSA penalties that be coming down that would cost billions, the profitability of these auto companies that go into these bonuses, how that's not going to affect them when it comes Christmas time. He needs to justify to the American auto worker why he sold them down the river for these climate activists who are really just juicing China's economy.
juicing China's economy. It takes less workers to build an electric vehicle. And, of course, you're going to have to give money to China to get the lithium, unless we're actually going to dig it out of the ground. We have, apparently, one of the greatest lithium mines in the South Dakota region. But this administration doesn't want to do any digging oil for gas or anything else in this nation. So Joe Biden shows up with United Auto Workers at a GM facility in Belleville, Michigan. And he's wearing a baseball cap, a quarter-zip sweater, says, Wall Street didn't build this country. The middle class built the country. Unions built the middle class. Let's keep going. You deserve what you've earned. You deserve a hell of a lot more, and you're getting paid now. And of course, he got cheers from the group. Now, originally, the UAW went in wanting a 40% increase. They backed down to 32%. And the group representing Chrysler said, you know, maybe we can come up with 23. Ford's been working on something. Well, they rejected the Chrysler thing. Not sure where the Ford is. But he went ahead and stood there and said, you guys have saved the automobile industry back in 2008 and before. You made a lot of sacrifices, gave up a lot. Companies were in trouble. Now they're doing incredibly well. And guess what? You should be doing well, too. Well, the auto companies actually have said, well, a lot of the money we are making and the money that we've taken from the government to build EVs, we're still not ahead. Now, are they making money? Yes. Could they part with some? Yes. So there'll be somewhere in there they will find it. Biden was asked by a reporter, with union reporter, a union guy standing around, do you think they deserve a 40% pay raise? Biden said, yes. He went in today because Donald Trump is going to a UAW picket line tomorrow. And again, Michigan Congressman James says, what hypocrisy.
President Biden is coming down here to patronize. When he comes down here, he needs to talk about his policies and the fact that he actually doesn't hate fossil fuels. He doesn't hate oil and gas. He just hates American oil and gas. He has no problem going to Venezuela and to Saudi Arabia where people are starving and they have human rights violations and asking for energy. He has no problem selling our strategic petroleum reserve to China, and now it's at the lowest level since I was 3 years old. He has no problem with that. He has a problem with American auto workers getting jobs. He has a problem with American auto workers thriving in the future, where even Sean Fain, the UAW president, is saying that due to this EV transition, double digits, people who are striking right now aren't going to have jobs in the next 5 to 10 years. That's a big problem with me, representing Michigan's 10th congressional district, the number one manufacturing district in the nation. Michigan's economy owes its growth and survival to the survival of the automotive industry, and we need to identify the issue. The issue is the Biden administration in D.C. Is actually pitting the environmentalists against the UAW. It is putting the survival of automotive companies in peril, and it's building the jobs in Mexico, sending our tax dollars to China, building the middle classes overseas on the backs of ours. We can't let that happen.
Cannot let it happen. And the Democrat senators are saying we cannot let Senator Menendez stay in the Senate. Oh, yeah, you're going to love this story. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
On Friday, the Southern District of New York brought charges against me. I understand how deeply concerning this can be. However, the allegations leveled against me are just that, allegations. For anyone who has known me throughout my 50 years of public service, they know I have always fought for what is right. My advocacy has always been grounded in what I learned from growing up as a son of Cuban refugees, especially my mom, my hero, Evangelina Menendez. Everything I've accomplished, I've worked for, despite the naysayers and everyone who has underestimated me. I recognize this will be the biggest fight yet, but as I have stated throughout this whole process, I firmly believe that when all the facts are presented, not only will I be exonerated, but I still will be the New Jersey's senior senator.
And so says New Jersey Senator Menendez. And he says, I can explain $500,000 cash in my home. I can explain $400,000 worth of gold bars in my home. See, I'm from Cuba, and we always worried about the government coming and taking everything. You are a U.S. senator, and you've got money stashed all over your house, in pockets of clothing, in envelopes, which, by the way, according to the prosecutors, some of the envelopes where they found money, they found DNA and our fingerprints from one of the New Jersey businessmen that supposedly was paying Menendez for certain things. Now, it just might be a coinky-dinky. You know, maybe he said, hey, if you ever need any envelopes, I got some here. Take a stack if you ever need to mail something out. You think? Of course you don't think that. But, as Menendez said, these are just charges and not proved of anything. Well, he's being removed from his chair leadership at this point, but now it's getting tougher. Senator Cory Booker is the other New Jersey senator. He is now joining and making now 18 Democrat senators saying Menendez needs to step down. In a lengthy statement, Menendez said, or rather, Booker said, Menendez, quote, is making a mistake by not stepping down in order to focus on his legal defense regarding the, quote, as Booker said, shocking allegations laid out by the U.S. Attorney's Office. And in fact, Cory Booker, who at one time was the mayor of Newark, said, I find the charges facing the senator hard to reconcile with the person I know. But then he also argued, the New Jersey senator needs to resign as lawmakers operate at a higher standard. That is tantamount to saying, you don't meet our standards because you're crooked. Well, if that's going to be applied to politicians, how many are going to be able to say, right? But anyway, again, Booker says, Menendez can no longer operate effectively with Senate colleagues, with now 18 of them Democrats saying, you got to go. Booger then continues this. Stepping down would not be an admission of guilt, but an acknowledgement that holding public office often demands tremendous sacrifices at great personal cost. Senator Menendez has made these sacrifices in the past to serve, and in this case, he must do so again. And I believe stepping down is best for those Senator Menendez has spent his life serving. That's kind of a wish you good luck in your new position. Don't let the door hit you on the butt on the way out. This is really an extraordinary move for Booker. He's been a key ally of Menendez up to this point. In fact, when Menendez was charged in 2015 with corruption charges, he was there backing him up. Menendez was not convicted. It was a hung jury. Those charges were dropped. How much of the current charges involved some of that happened then? Probably not much, if any, because you have to look at the case of, well, even if it's a hung jury, are you looking at double jeopardy, which would not be constitutional. But Booker is now joining the rest of the other 17 other Democrat senators who say, yeah, you got to go. And they include some prominent Democrats. In addition to Booker, Tammy Baldwin, Wisconsin, Bob Casey, Pennsylvania, Montana, John Tester, Nevada, Jackie Rosen, Martin Henrick, New Mexico, Mark Kelly, Arizona, Michael Bennett, Colorado, Amy Klobuchar, Minnesota, oh, and Elizabeth Warren. Now, prior to them making that decision this morning, those 10, Senator John Fetterman Friday had also said you need to go. But who listens to a guy in a hoodie and shorts, right? Apparently they're all listening to him. Because he got followed by Senators Brown of Ohio and Welch of Vermont as of yesterday. And now there are calls coming in from Markey of Massachusetts, Maggie Hassan, New Hampshire, Hirano, Hawaii. Now, for Kamala, that is a female. You may not know that, Kamala. I think you identified her as a male at one point. Gillibrand of New York and Warnock of Georgia. So Booker was really the long key holdout. But so far, Menendez is not showing I'm going to bow to any of this pressure. I'm staying. I got elected. I'm going to stay. And simply stepping aside and doing so out of political expediency, I'm not going to do it. He said, I will be exonerated. He made similar statements of 2015. And as it turned out, he wasn't exonerated. It was a hung jury, and the charges dropped, so I guess you could say nothing was proven against him. I'd have to give him the benefit of that, being able to say that. They still have, of course, some Democrats who have not made a decision, and one of those would be Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Now, if he jumps into the fray and agrees with the others, then it's definitely over for Menendez. These prosecution charges, again, are claiming that he and his wife were getting cash or gold bars, additional payments toward a home mortgage, being compensated for a low or no-show job, a $60,000 Mercedes, and other items of value. Menendez and his wife charged with conspiracy to commit bribery, conspiracy to commit honest service fraud, conspiracy to commit extortion under color of official right. Now, everything I just read you could well, in the end, be applied to Joe Biden. Larry, you're getting ahead of me. Yeah, I am. You're right. But you know what? Coming up this week, they're going to be opening up those hearings. And we already know the ones that they're going to be bringing in on the first day of the hearing. They've already released who they're calling in. And it's interesting, I guess they're bringing some in just to kind of set the stage on constitutional viability. But as I'm looking at this list, they are going to bring in on the House Oversight Committee Thursday under James Comer everyone that they're going to start building a case to show that Joe Biden allowed his family to sell him as a brand to enrich the Biden family. Key is going to be, can they pinpoint money directly to him? He had a financial guy to handle all of his finances. That is going to be a key person they'll end up speaking to. But it's all supposed to open up Thursday, 9 a.m. Central Time. And one of the first ones to be called is a forensic accountant. Uh-oh. A forensic accountant, this particular one, 40 years of financial investigative, expert witness in over 100 different cases, testifying in more than 80 trials involving criminal and civil financial fraud. They're also bringing in a former assistant attorney general for the U.S. Department of Justice Tax Division. She supervised DOJ litigation of civil, criminal trial, and appellate tax cases. You can see where this is going. They're going right down the bank records. That's where they're headed. And as we wrap up this segment, let me add one other name for you. Professor Turley, nationally recognized legal scholar, dealing with constitutional law to legal theory. So he will also be brought in. Now, going into our next hour here, our last hour, we are going to be getting into a lot of things that are going to raise some questions.
Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Larry Connors, USA.
So there are a couple other things on the Menendez story I did not get a chance to get to there. I didn't want to be rushed at the end for you.
I told you Chuck Schumer has yet to announce that he encourages Menendez to step down. Now, Chuck Schumer, of course, is the party chair, the Senate Majority Leader. Currently, Menendez, I said he had been removed, but it appears that he still does have chairmanship of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I saw in one piece that it looked like he was out. Maybe it meant to be that he was considering that he would at least leave leadership, but stay in the Senate. But the best I can tell, and I'm looking at a piece from The Hill right now that says he does support, well, that's apparently where it's going. Here's where it is. Schumer said last week he does support Menendez's decision to step down from his chairmanship of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, which he had done, and I thought that was correct, but then I thought I saw something indicating otherwise. There are a lot of twists and turns in this, just like the Joe Biden case. And you could say, Donald Trump, you want to throw that in? Go ahead. And before we wrap up this hour, I want you to hear from MSNBC, Joe Scarborough and his wife, Mika, and what they have to say about Trump and polls and everything. And I know you're not going to like it. I played some of it in the first hour. I'm going to add more content to it here as we close out. But I know you probably, I'm willing to bet you don't watch MSNBC or CNN. I do it for you. You don't have to. I go in and do the dirty grunt work. I go in and dig them out for you. So I save you that. You stay pristine and clean, and I come up looking dirty, but I bring up material for you. So in addition to Schumer not saying that he's siding with Democrats, Senate Democrats, saying Menendez needs to leave the Senate, along with that would be Debbie Stabenow, who is from Michigan. She is the number three Senate leader. She hasn't said that either. She's waiting on word from Chucky. If Chucky's head moves up and down, yeah, she'll be with him. Oh, and that other guy that's in between her and Schumer, that would be Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, number two in the party. He also is not saying at this time what he would do. Now, there's another issue to be considered. Menendez is up for re-election next year. See how that plays out? And that indictment's still going to be hanging over him if he decides to run for a fourth term. He's already being primary challenged by Democrat New Jersey Congressman Andy Kim. So Kim is ready to jump in there. And if it's apparent that Menendez will not be able to really run effectively, there will be others jumping in. But now here's something else. This, I just told you that it's not just Menendez that is in facing this indictment. You know who they're thinking about as his potential successor if he decides to step out? It would be New Jersey's first lady. The governor's wife might then be put into that position. The governor had the power to appoint someone in the interim, so it could be the New Jersey First Lady. You got to keep in mind, all of this still has to be proven. There's some other points I want to go through with you. I mean, I've got so many things, as I always do. I'm drinking out of a fire hose every day, and I don't have time to devote the justice this deserves because we have spent so much money in Ukraine. And yeah, we don't want it to be controlled and run over by Russia, but you reach a point where, why aren't you taking care of Americans first? Why we continue to dump more and more money in there and we're not really getting proper accounting? Well, now it appears there's a report out that says U.S. taxpayers are subsidizing small businesses in Ukraine. This has nothing to do with defense. Now, yes, it's helping them get money, but we're apparently sending all kinds of food and supplies in anyway. We're helping their business stay open.
I'm not opposed to helping small business, but how many small businesses in our nation could use some help? Are they getting anything? No. But apparently, we have spent out of $113 to $115 billion since the war began, $25 billion of that has been in non-military aid. $25 billion. Did it go to help subsidize these farmers? I mean, these taxpayers, that not taxpayers, but small businesses? There's a good reason we ask and question, how much longer are we going to let some of this go on? And how are we going to ever get ourselves straight if we're just going to let it go down the same road over and over again? The Biden administration's plan is always just go ahead, spend more money. There's a Breitbart piece written by John Nolte I want to share with you. And it's titled this way. In today's edition of Stories That Will Disappear As Soon As It's Too Late to Replace Joe Biden, that's the way it reads, the far-left publication Axios reports the White House is terrified his frail fraudulently will trip and fall again. Axios writes, as voters express deep concerns about the 80-year-old's president's age and fitness for office, Biden's team is taking extra steps to prevent him from stumbling in public, as he did in June when he tripped over a sandbag at the Air Force Academy. Now, you might remember that. Now, that was, I'm not really going to blame that on Biden to a large extent. I know the sandbag was placed over a tripod of some type for a light or the prompter, and you don't see it and you hit it. I can understand that. With the vision problem I've had in one eye, if I'm going downstairs, it's kind of a dark area. I actually hold the rail, which I used to never pay attention to because I'm not sure if that step is where I think it is. So I can qualify and understand that. I can understand when Trump went down at the Air Force Academy, not going down, but coming off the ramp on a slick slope, holding on to a military officer with him and being very careful, kind of shuffling his feet because it was wet. It'd be very easy to slip and slide. I also understand why they have decided to abandon the main steps into Air Force One for Biden and use a lower entrance so he doesn't have to go with so many steps. That's common sense. That's not meant to mock the man. It's not meant to make fun of his stumbles and failings. But, of course, if it's the other side, they're not going to be that lenient and understanding, are they? Now, if we're going to see this kind of stuff continue with them, Axios reports Biden, quote, has been wearing tennis shoes more often to avoid slipping. Again, that would make sense. But I don't know how you explain that when he's doing a news conference saying, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to bed. Or when one of the ministers of another country is standing near him and Biden shakes hands with a guy that was doing the presentation of some type and the leader of the other country reaches out his hand to shake hands with Joe Biden and he's turned around and walks away from him, leaving the guy looking like, and walks off, ticked off. That has nothing to do with stumbling and things of that nature. Whether it has to do with cognitive results, maybe. Now, with all this in mind, there was a survey that came out. We mentioned this to you the other day. That was an ABC survey at that time. And it was saying that in a heads-up match, you would have Biden losing by 10 points. Now, with that in mind, let's go to MSNBC and Joe Scarborough talking about how everybody's trying to make a big deal out of that and forgetting something.
Remember after Iowa?
Yeah.
He was dead. Remember after New Hampshire?
Mm-hmm.
Mocked, ridiculed, dead. After Nevada, there's no way he can come back. He went South Carolina, he wins the nomination. We heard the same thing. He's too old. He's living in his basement. He's stopped of it. He can't get out of his basement. He's going to lose. And then election night, oh, well, Trump's going to win this state and that state. Now things wrong. And then progressives, as well as Trumpers, wrong for 2 years about bipartisan. I'm just telling you, maybe these polls are right. Well, they're not right. It's not nine points. Morning Joe betting syndicate will take all of your bets right now. Like, if you want to take the plus nine on Joe Biden, yeah. No, Biden's not going to lose by 9 points. This is a close race.
Well, there is that other poll that is an NBC poll that says it is close. So you got the NBC poll saying it's really close. 9-10 points on this other one. And Joe Scarborough saying, my betting operation, we'll take you, we'll spot you 9 points. Put your money up. Now, you know, when you bet on a football team or a basketball team, you know, if they cover the spread, that's all the difference in winning or losing. So if Trump wins, but only wins by 7, then I'd end up losing money if I said 9 points. But, of course, we're a long ways from the election. It'd be interesting to see if Joe Scarborough's betting operation decides to reverse numbers, especially since against those two surveys comes a new one. No surprise there. This is a Messenger-Harris poll that got published. And it says, Joe Scarborough, did you see this one? And probably, maybe you did, and maybe you're ignoring it. 46% of registered voters backed Trump in the nomination. Biden, 41%. So that one shows Trump ahead by 5 points in a hypothetical heads-up match. 13%, I do not understand this. 13% undecided. How can you not be decided if you're told between these two? Now, you may have another candidate in mind. That I understand. But I'm just asking between A and B, apples or okra, which do you like? Well, I don't know. I'm kind of undecided, you know. Depends on how the okra's cooked. Really? All right, so then after Joe makes that statement, and he's talking about, remember how they said he was down? Remember during the election night when it was Hillary and Trump and all the mainstream media stood in front of their big maps and talked about the blue wall? No way Trump can get through this, so Hillary's going to win. How did that one turn out, Joe? But then aside from what he had to say about that, Mika decides to chime in and saying, what really bothers me is that they continue to gather around Trump and they give him credit and they give him coverage. And why are they doing this?
And as for Donald Trump, I think that there has got to be a point where if you're an organization that works around debating the issues and following the truth. I don't know why there are extensive interviews with this man when he cannot even admit he lost the election. Like, that would be the end of any interview anywhere, or it should be. And instead, he pontificates and rolls over people with lies, and people continue to put him on as if he is a truth teller.
You look at Jonathan.
And he's not a truth teller.
Okay, so Trump's not a truth teller. May I say the same about Hillary Clinton? Yes, I may. Thank you. I don't need permission. I'm going to do it anyway. I did say may, I, mother, but I did it anyway. And for all the news organizations, now see, that's what she's doing. So why would these news organizations like Fox, is who she's referring to, or Newsmax, or One American News, why would they let him on their air and that he's a truth teller? Why do you guys Mika and Joe and the rest of your ilk allow Hillary on the air all the time. Then she's a truth teller. She's on just the other day being quoted in an interview, not only, and again, we're not even talking about broadcast media. We're talking about print, whatever. They're quoting her about, you know, Russians are going to interfere with the election again. I'm sure they will. They didn't do it the first time. That was stated clearly by John Durham and his report. There was no Russian collusion. And even Obama and Biden and the Attorney General at the time and FBI Director Comey were all told the Russian collusion, Steele dossier stuff, that was all a dirty tricks campaign created by Hillary Clinton and the Democrat National Committee. So why would you ever have her up and present her as a viable, credible person? Oh, yeah, that's right. Because you love her and you hate Trump. If we could ever get the other side to actually be fair, we might really be moving forward as a nation. And I will say that for some on the right. You need to accept fairness when it's pointed out. As always, thanks for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.